Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to talk about childhood memories. About a month ago, we opened the phone lines, had tons of people call, share their childhood memories. We're going to get to some of those and some of yours and others who have shared theirs with us, all coming up here, as well as general questions. If you have a question about life or relationships and how intentional living can make a difference, because intentional living adds hope and peace and freedom to life. You're not going to be successful unintentionally in life. You don't fall into success. It's a decision you make to be successful at the things that matter most, your marriage, your family, your health, and certainly your growing relationship with Christ. I'm Randy Carlson. The phone line is open for your comments at 888-888-1717. Press number 2, and when you do, you can leave your story with us today. As we're counting down in this month of December, I can't believe the end of the year is just around the corner, just a few more days to go. All right, let's begin with Renee, who's on the line in Missouri. Appreciate your call, Renee. What's your question for me?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Randy. My husband, ever since we got married, he has a extremely flirtatiousness about him to where he is, looks at other women very sensually. And in turn, they do that back. And he's been doing it ever since a year after we got married. And he is very, at one point he gets angry at me and says he doesn't do that. And I've witnessed it many, many, many times. And so it hurts terribly. And so I, you know, we've had 32 years of marriage and I'm just struggling very badly.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah. Hey, listen, Renee, he's paying for it and you're paying for it. Let me just say something to everyone listening to your story before I comment to you, Renee. And it's this. Whatever it is we're doing in our marriage, that's a problem to our spouse. Either a real problem or a perceived problem. We're missing their expectation and we're going to pay for it. Some of you are paying right now in your marriage for a lack of awareness of how your behavior, what you say, whatever it is impacting your spouse. And it may be that they're being impacted by virtue of their childhood memories or their experiences in growing up. But the reality is you're there in that home. And so for you, Renee, I wish your husband were on the line, because this is what I'd say to him. You got to listen to your wife. I mean, you may not be meaning it. It may not be your, remember what we say in intentional living, your intentions may be good, but the expectations may not be met. And your intention, I don't know what it is, but if your intention is to have a good marriage, then you better be clear on what your spouse's expectations are and meet those. And if that means looking the other way, being intentional and saying, hey, I'm not going to, whatever it is. And because if you blow it off, you're really dampening the fire of your own marriage. You're going to pay for it. Pay me now, pay me later. But you're going to pay for it. And many people do. All right. Telephone line is open. You're welcome to share your comments with us on our storyline at 888-888-1717. I want to get to some of those childhood memories here real soon, okay? Let's take a quick break. We're right back with those.
It's a statement, simple yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's two simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living Wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
With my first cup of coffee.
First thing at the office, before staff meeting.
When do you go to the Intentional Living Facebook page?
I look at it every morning on my elevator ride to the office. Really?
Each morning right after I drop off the kids.
Have you visited the Intentional Life page on Facebook today? Stay intentional with words from Dr. Randy, comment on wall posts, and share about what's going on in your life too. And be sure to share the encouragement with someone you care about. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like.
Hey, listen, when you do, there's a lot of help there for you. We enjoy having interaction with you on our Facebook and through our resources and all of the things at theintentionallife.com. You know, we started out talking about childhood memories. It was a number of years ago that Dr. Kevin Lehman and I wrote a book called Unlocking the Secrets of Your Childhood Memories. And it really caught fire and up on the New York Times bestseller list. And we had a lot of fun helping people understand their memories, that our memories matter, how our memories impact us. And I haven't talked about it recently. I thought maybe that'd be kind of a fun thing to do, especially with the holidays right here, with Christmas coming. Here's a memory, one of the memories we wrote about in the book. Let me share this memory, and then I'll tell you who it is in a few minutes. You guess, what kind of person would have a memory like this? I'll tell you, it's a man. He said it was in the afternoon, and I remember him. He's talking about his dad. It was in the afternoon. I remember him, my dad, clapping his hands, opening his arms, and saying, come on to daddy. Come on to daddy. Now, we know the way we remember our childhood memories, whatever these little pictures are significant in terms of how we view life today. In other words, if you're a creative type person, you're going to tend to remember things that have sights, sound, smell, touch, things that are creative. If you're a detail person, there's going to be some detail in your childhood memories. If your family, if you're just family is so important to you and that's the centerpiece of your life, you're most likely to have memories that involve family. Good or bad, but family is going to be present. And then you add the emotion to those memories, and it becomes significant. Is it a positive emotion, negative, no emotion at all? And so when you hear the memory, just tell me, what kind of person would that be? It's the afternoon. I remember my dad clapping his hands, opening his arms. You can get the picture. He opens his arms and says, come on to daddy, come on to daddy. When you hear who that is, it's going to be obvious. Very famous person. And I'll tell you who that is in a little bit. Okay, let's take some real live memory calls here. I think Renee is on the line. Raina's on the line in Arizona with a memory. Go right ahead, Raina.
Oh, yes. Hello, Dr. Randy. Yes, my childhood memory is about me and my brother. I was about 9.5 years old, and I had a baby brother, and I was taking care of him at night while my mom was working. And I got afraid that someone was coming in the back door or about to break in the back door. And so I got my brother and I bundled him up really good. And then I took out the front door and I was running down to where my mom worked, and we lived in a small town. So I was running down there with my brother. Huh. And then I got afraid because we were out in the open on the streets. And so I turned around and I came back. And in the meantime, my mother had come a different way to come and check on us. And of course, when we got there, she was frantic because her children were gone. And of course, she was glad that we were there. And she said, and she asked me what happened, and I told her. And then she said, well, at least you didn't leave without your brother.
Hey, listen, let me ask you a question, Raina. Of that whole memory, which is really very significant, what's the clearest part of it? If you were to freeze frame it like a movie, where would it stop? What's the clearest part of it?
When I was running and I was making sure that my brother was okay and that his head wasn't moving too much. I mean, he could hold his head up at that time, but I was just making sure of his safety and watching him and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Raina, you're the oldest child, right?
Yeah.
My guess about Raina, everybody in America or anywhere around the world listening is saying, this is a responsible woman, right?
Yeah.
I bet you are now, though. I bet you're a protective mom. You probably watch out. You make sure people are taken care of, would be my guess.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know if I'm entirely that virtuous, but pretty much. And I call my brother and I am concerned about him and like that. And
How old is your brother?
I'm 69 now, so he's around 59.
All right. Now listen, America, here's a 69-year-old woman calling her 59-year-old brother because she's still concerned about his head bobbling around as he's going down the street. Come on now, Raina. Work with me here.
You are
a responsible person. You care, and you want to, my guess is you want to take care of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you do for a living?
I was in the helping professions.
Surprise.
I was an EMT for a while on ambulance, and then I worked in the mental health for a little while. Yeah.
Yeah. Why did I not think Raina was sitting behind a computer locked in an office all by herself? I mean, Raina's going to be out helping people, caring for people. Now, let me just say this about memories, childhood memories. This isn't magical, spooky stuff. It's just that the way we're wired, the way God wired us, of the thousands and thousands and thousands of things that happen to us, we tend to go back and pull out little memories that are really just kind of consistent with who we are today. And so here's Raina, who grew up as a health professional, worked in emergency medical, worked in mental health, calls her 59-year-old brother to see how he's doing. There's no surprise she's going to have a memory about, hey, I was fearful, but my first thought was my brother, wrapping him up, holding his head, making sure he's safe, taking care of him, and running down the street. So that's Raina. We just know everything about Raina after this call.
Well, thank you. You know, my best memory of all is I came back to the Lord in 2009.
Amen.
And your program has been a part of that. In fact, I listened to Dr. Jeremiah Knightley on your program, and I listened to you guys. So you're a part of that. That's my best memory of all, is coming back to Him.
Amen. Well, we appreciate them. We're glad we could be a part of encouraging you on your journey, Raina, and thank you for calling today.
All right. You have a wonderful day.
We will, and if you ever have a need, call Raina, because she's going to be there for you. This is good, isn't it? Interesting. Childhood memories. Got time for another one? All right, let me go to Kim, who's on the line, who has a memory as well. Kim, welcome to Intentional Living. Are you there, Kim?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. What's your childhood memory?
Well, it's not so much a childhood memory. It's I'm hoping to make a childhood memory for my son.
Okay.
And I'm struggling with doing a responsible thing or doing something that he can, an opportunity to make a childhood memory. He's turning 8 tomorrow. And tomorrow's a school day. We have his younger brother, who's 18 months younger than him, has autism.
Mm.
So he requires a lot of attention. And his big brother sometimes feels overshadowed by it. And so I don't get to spend a lot of one-on-one time with him.
With your older child.
With the older.
Uh-huh. And what's his name? What's his first name?
Diego.
Yeah. And so you're trying to make a memory for him.
Yes. Yeah. I'm struggling with, do I allow him not to be in school tomorrow while his brother's in school, so that I can spend some one-on-one time with him, focusing on some fun times and making memories for him.
Well, Kim, let me share. Can I share just a couple thoughts with you?
Yeah.
You're obviously, I'd love to hear your childhood memories. I'm sure they're filled with warmth and care and caring for people, because you're a loving mom. You see more than just, I got to get this stuff done, this parenting stuff done. You're concerned about the impact on your children. And when you have a special needs child, it really changes the dynamics. And every parent listening that has a special needs child understands that. Just a couple things I would observe. One is, we don't live in a perfect world. You're never going to have a perfect balance. You have to do what you have to do. Life's not fair. Special needs child, by name, has special needs. And so there has to be provision for that. I think, and I have observed this, many times a child who grows up with a special needs brother or sister who feels included in caring for the family. In other words, we're in this together. We're all family. Grows up to have a greater sensitivity to people than those of us who maybe didn't have that experience when we were a child. So I wouldn't worry so much about making special memories, because let me say this about memories. You've heard some memories already. I'm not a big advocate of our job as a parent is to make special memories for our kids, because I have talked to thousands of adults who have shared their childhood memories with me over the years, and I have yet to have one that say, oh, I remember my parent had this special memory they wanted me to remember later in life. The memories are always those seemingly insignificant, repetitive moments with family and care and love that make the biggest difference. It's sort of like at Christmas time, you hear the joke that the kids rather get the box than what's in the box. Some of the little kids playing in the box afterward have more fun than all the stuff in the box. And so I wouldn't worry quite so much, Kim, about trying to, quote, make a memory, as I would just be the parent you need to be and let those memories come. Okay? Now, the second thing I'd say, whenever we have to make a decision like this, should I do this tomorrow or should I not do this tomorrow? You know, we get caught in this moment. And here's the question I'd ask. If I were to look back a year from now and ask that same question, should I have done that on that day? How will I view it a year from now and then do that one thing? Because it's more important to get the long view than the short view sometimes. And if it's important for you to do that tomorrow, then I'd do it. If you say a year from now, I look back and say that was the right thing to do. I have no idea if that helps you, Kim, but those are a couple thoughts.
It does, because it confirms in me exactly what I was thinking, that I know how he's always requesting one-on-one time with me. And it's hard to give him that.
Well, then you do it because you want to do it, but don't do it out of guilt, okay?
Okay.
You know how that guilt can get in your way, right?
Yeah.
Come on, you're a mom. I think moms have a gas tank of guilt sometimes, and
absolutely.
You just do what God's called you to do, and God has a way of making up the difference. Story's not over yet, and we'll be praying for you, Kim. Appreciate your call.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
That's where I thought about the fact that we judge on expectations, God judges on intention. And it's something we need to look at on a regular basis. You know, this is the point, I think, in life when people reject God. How many people do you know who have rejected God because God doesn't make any sense? How could he take my baby? How could he let that car accident occur? How can we have poverty in parts of the world today? And people use that as an opportunity to say, God makes no sense, I'm rejecting the whole thing. And many of us question it too. I know people, and you do too, who have come along and they, as the scripture says, the seed went down into kind of hard soil, or it didn't take root, and then those tough times come, and because of the heat of the moment or the problems that are faced, they reject it and they walk away from the faith. And it's a lot of times when God makes no sense, that's the time that we're going to bail out. It's not when things are going well.
Hey, let me say a word to members. The teaching, Living Intentionally When Life Doesn't Make Sense, was intentionally designed for this month of December, wrapping up this year. Maybe life hasn't made sense. Not all, you know, Christmas cards and holly and fun times. And so this is a very encouraging lesson. It's on its way to you, maybe already there. If you're not a member, you can receive the teaching for this month with your gift to Intentional Living by joining as a monthly member. And every month thereafter, this month and into 2019, you'll receive a brand new teaching from me to you.
All you have to do is go online to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. Now, something we launched yesterday, very excited. Some friends of the ministry have established a matching gift for our radio ministry and for Intentional Living, dollar for dollar, to help us close out this year. And boy, we need your help. Every gift right now will be matched dollar for dollar, but it has to be in this month of December to help us close out this calendar year. I'm encouraging you to share a gift of $100 or more. And that multiplies pretty quickly. Your $100 being matched makes it $200 for the ministry. Boy, that's going to be a big help. All you have to do to maximize your gift is to share that gift with us at theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. You know, this year God has transformed marriages. We've seen that in our conferences. Parents have been encouraged. Families have been encouraged through the principles and the equipping truth of living intentionally in Christ. And boy, we've got a lot more ahead in 2019. But first, we've got to meet the needs as we wrap up this month, this year. And I want to thank you. We're just a few weeks now from the end of the year, just a few days. And so what happens here is going to help determine what we can do in 2019. Your gift online right now will equip many families. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And click on donate. Or call during West Coast business hours, 888-1717, and press number 4 to talk to our staff. All right, we've been talking about childhood memories. Oh, I did read one to you earlier, didn't I? Think about this picture. Now that you have an understanding how childhood memories might work, this is a very famous person who's now deceased in heaven. And this person said it was in the afternoon, and I remember him talking about his dad, clapping his hands, opening his arms, and saying, come on to daddy, come on to daddy. Now, you get a picture, right? This is a picture of a man who's very open, family, love, affection. When I read that childhood memory, I thought, I've got to put that in the book, because that's the childhood memory of Billy Graham, the late Billy Graham. Did you see him standing on the platform with his arms open? I mean, I'm thinking, that was a gift when he shared that childhood memory, because it's an exact picture of Billy Graham saying, come on to daddy, come on to daddy. Now, sometimes it's not quite that obvious, but we do know that the memories we have matter. Now, I would say this about childhood memories. You can change them over time, not the memory so much, but how it affects you. Because I've seen people come to Christ and 5 years later, they share the same memory and say, man, all I sense is forgiveness and peace, what God has done, not the pain and bitterness. So you're not stuck, okay? All right, let's get Tyler. Tyler from Michigan is on the line. What's your favorite childhood memory, Tyler?
I remember when I was a child, we burned wood my entire life, as long as I can remember. And, you know, I'd go out splitting wood with Dad and, you know, just carrying the logs for him. And finally, when I got old enough to where he'd let me swing a split maw, you know, go ahead and let his 8-year-old beat himself half to death and get all sweaty. And I got to that point in age where he would let me go out there and start splitting the wood with him. And, you know, and I grabbed the piece and I rolled it over. Dad, here, Dad, split this one. And he's like, you know, I think I'm just going to leave that one. We're going to get the wood split, or we'll have Glenn do it or something. I says, oh, okay. Well, he went back inside after wood, and I looked at that piece of wood, and I'm thinking to myself, man, Dad would really be happy and proud if I was able to split that big piece of wood. And I stayed out for hours hitting that piece of wood. I hit that piece of wood over 100 times, I guarantee it. And finally, I ended up splitting the piece of wood. I remember going and seeing Dad. Dad, look, I split that piece of wood for you. Turns out he was watching the whole time. He recalls the story as clearly as I do. And just watching me and how proud as a dad, seeing his son being so determined to get something done for his dad, you know, and that's always been something I very, very much enjoyed myself.
When you think back on that memory, Tyler, from many years ago, what is your emotion right at this moment?
You know, I guess I'm just proud of how I was raised to not give up and to do things for others. It just brings joy to me to help other people.
Yeah, you answered it yourself. I mean, Tyler, you really gave the sort of the assessment of what that memory says about you today. You enjoy helping people and so on. Hey, listen, you know, with Christmas coming up, This is kind of a fun thing, maybe just around the table. You might hear some things you go, oh. If you listen with new ears to childhood memories, even from some your teenagers sitting around the table, you will, in fact, do this and then let me know. I'll be surprised if you're not surprised with some of the memories you hear from your teenagers about when they were younger. It probably won't be the big Disneyland trip you spent thousands of dollars on to get them there to make a memory. It'll be some seemingly insignificant little moment that they recall. Anyway, let us know. Hey, listen, we had a caller from Texas. The call got dropped, and we're sorry about that, Melody. But she said when she was 5 years old in Africa, when the Biafra Rebellion broke out, and some of you may remember that. That was 50 years ago, right? Now she's 55, and she's still fearful. And she saw many people killed. And I'm sure she wanted to know why. Well, that's kind of, you know, one of the things we know when you have these kinds of traumatic events, they impact us. I mean, they imprint themselves. One of the prayers I have for those of you who've been through traumatic events in your life is that the memories of those things, as they come through your mind, they will have less and less significance, less and less control over you as you genuinely grow in your spiritual walk, your relationship with Christ. You know, the scripture says to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. A prayer request I would share, Melody, for you would be, heal Melody's memories. I mean, heal them, touch them. Those pictures may never go away, obviously. They're imprinted. But Father, give her healing in her life. Give her confidence in you. You've not given her a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That would be my prayer for her. Amen. Well, listen, this has been kind of an interesting program. We've had some fun memories, difficult memories. Love to hear yours. You're welcome to share it on our storyline. We've had people posting on Facebook as well. We didn't even get to those, but you're welcome to join that on Facebook and see some of the memories of other people and share your own, your favorite childhood memories for the holiday season or just from your past. Go to theintentionallife.com. For Rob and for Stephen and for Sally and the rest of the team behind the scenes here at Intentional Living, I get to be here on this side. I'm Randy Carlson, founder of Intentional Living, and glad to be a part of your life today. We've got more in store coming up, not only for the rest of this month, but right into 2019. And by the way, thanks to those of you even right now who are calling or going online to share a gift with this matching gift for Intentional Living. God bless you. Appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.